In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so the collect that Father Bill prayed for us today says that you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us. And listen to this, and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before. So we're going to kind of start with that. And let me see if I can find the first page of this thing. So, on Thursday, the Feast of the Ascension occurred. And the Feast of... I'm sorry, I've got a dog under my feet there, so hold on just a minute.
Take her inside.
Yeah, she's okay. It'll be all right. The Feast of the Ascension occurs 40 days after Easter, and it is a very important feast, and I'm going to talk to you about the Ascension, ascending of Jesus, the Ascension of Jesus into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and yes, we are recording as well, too. I'm calling it an occurrence right now because it actually is a fact that happened, and you find it in four different places in the Scriptures. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have an account of that. And then you also heard from Acts today, which is also an account from Luke, where it was mentioned that Jesus ascended into heaven, and they're all standing there looking up there, which I would do too, honestly, okay? If he ascended into heaven, my mouth would be wide open. So, now I've preached to you about this before, and I say that because I find that it's extremely important occurrence, okay? And I will ask your forgiveness if I use the same sorts of examples that I've used in the past. Believe me, I'm trying not to do that. We shall see how it goes. What do people say about long goodbyes? Well, you hear that name and you say, well, nobody likes long goodbyes, right? We're sitting here on our porch, and just down the hill where Kaylee lives is my grandparents' house. And my grandfather was a humorist. I never knew him. But one of the things that he always used to say when he and his wife Bertha would go visiting was that she would take a long time to leave. And he would say, Bertha, don't ooze out. And that was his way of saying, let's go. It's time to get out of here. Now, the Ascension is also a departing, okay? Jesus departs from this earth in that time. And I do have to say, in some ways, that he oozes out because he prepares us for this a long time before. While he's still walking around teaching his disciples, he tells them that he's going to go away. And he continues that preparation time all the way up to this point. Now, we heard the account of the Ascension here in the Acts today, and this occurrence, this, I'm going to call it a miracle, because it truly is a miracle. It's one of those, as I mentioned, a key and essential facts of the work that Jesus did. Okay? It has to be understood. You see what I'm saying? It shapes and it colors our faith from beginning to end. Our creeds include it. You know, he ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father. In the continuum of beliefs, this is not just doctrine, this is dogma, okay? When you say you're being dogmatic about something, it means you will not change. This is absolutely essential to the faith. And this is absolutely essential to the faith. So it is important for you to understand this, okay? Now, the collect for the day, the Feast of the Ascension, says this, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so we may also in heart and mind there ascend and with him continually dwell. Now, this sums it up very well. The collect that I read for you, that Father Bill prayed earlier, asks that we do go to that place. Uh-oh, my internet connection is unstable. Let's see if it's improving any. Good thing we're recording this. Let me see. Can you see and hear me? Anybody shake their hand? Maybe. Okay. So I'm going to continue praying. We'll see.
We can hear you, Father.
Okay, well, we'll keep going then. What he did in the ascension affects us greatly, and that's what I want to get to. You see, if our lives, if in Colossians chapter 3, we hear that our lives are hidden with Christ in God, then that follows that we, therefore, are where he is, at the right hand of God. And we are seated there. Now that brings us back to the collect, okay? So that we also may be in heart and mind there where he ascends. So you say, okay, Father Chris, you know what? I don't really feel like I'm sitting at the right hand of God. And to that I would tell you, I'm sorry that you don't. Maybe I can change your mind somehow. I'm going to give you 3 arguments for it, okay? So the very first thing is I want you to try and understand this from Jesus' perspective, from his perspective, okay? You know, it's easy to look at it from our perspective. But why do things the easy way? I mean, we never have before. Why should we start now? In John chapter 17, the gospel for today, this is a wonderful prayer that Jesus is praying to his Father for the disciples. And if we keep reading on beyond where Deacon Mac read today, in verse 12, he says that while he was with them, he protected them and he guarded them. And I would put to you that he was sorrowful to be leaving them. What he's saying in John chapter 17 is that he is sorry that he has to leave them. Let me put it simply for you. It hurt him to leave. Okay? It's not like he said, well, you know what? I think I've had all I can of you people, and I'm going to go. Okay? You know, last bus out. I got to keep. I got to be on that shuttle. Sorry, we're going to go. No. It pained him to leave. He did not want to go, okay? Say it any clearer than that. See, he loved the disciples. He loves everyone. And he didn't want to leave them alone and defenseless. It pained him to leave, okay? That's important for you to understand. And I think that the major feasts of the church, you know, we think of the Incarnation at Christmas, the Crucifixion, Good Friday, Resurrection, Easter, and then Pentecost. In all of those, it's easy to see how those events, those actions, help us. And of course, it helps because we've preached about them so many years over the years, okay, so many times. But in the Ascension, it appears that this is just something he has to do. Oh, sorry, time to go. His leaving us behind, at first glance, doesn't seem to benefit us a whole lot, okay? I mean, wouldn't you like to see Jesus here on earth right now and ask him questions? I mean, we could invite him to preach on Zoom. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't think that'd work. So, wouldn't it make so much things so much easier if he were here? But he left, almost as if he just left us for us to figure it out by ourselves. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, okay? The ascension is so important to the plan to save humankind. The plan doesn't work without it. If we back up one chapter in John 16, if you want to go there, in verse 7, he says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, the advocate, the Holy Spirit." And then if we go forward into John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And while he has been with them, he protected them and he guarded them. Do you hear that? He protected them. He guarded them. You know, while he walked around on the roads of Galilee and Judea, how many times did he snatch the disciples out of the hands of Satan? How many times did he stop the attacks of the evil one? It's an amazing thing to think about. You know, we don't know. Just as we also don't know how many times he does that for us each day. You know, we probably don't want to know. I think it'd make the hairs stand up on the back of your head. But he was protecting them and guarding them when he was here. And once again, in chapter 17, Jesus isn't just talking about his upcoming death by crucifixion. You know, this John chapter 17 is there on the Last Supper, the night of the Last Supper. He hasn't been arrested yet. He hasn't been crucified yet. He hasn't risen yet. But he's talking about his final going away. A lot of times we think about this and we think about, okay, he's talking about his coming death. But you know what? He came back, didn't he? He was resurrected, hallelujah. And he came back and he spent 40 days with them. He is talking about his final leaving at the ascension, going away. You see, I believe that in this passage that we heard today, Jesus was overcome by emotion during this prayer, this intimate communion with the Father. I mean, listen to the words, okay? You would have, if you were right there with him at that night, you would have heard it in his voice. And I'm going to John 17:15. And he says, I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. The motion, I can't do it. I can't make that happen. I'm not that good of an actor. The emotion would have been just as passionate, just as heart-wrenching, or I put to you even more than his plea was in the garden when he pleaded, take this cup away from me. He did not want to leave for his own benefit, and he didn't leave for his benefit. He left for our benefit. He was sad to leave. And here you have, this is the importance of what I've been saying all of this time, is that it's one more demonstration of the astounding love that God has for us. Once again, he sacrificed his will and good pleasure for our benefit. That's my first argument to you for the ascension. The second one is this, his going placed us above sin. You see, we live in a world of sin. It's hard to get away from it. And that's why we say the confession every day. You know, if you're saying, you know, your daily prayers. But we are no longer slaves to sin. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. He says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Jesus ascended above the sinful world because he was without sin. He could leave it behind. That's something no other human could ever do. And because we are our lives hidden with Christ in God, we also have ascended above sin as well. Where he is, there we are. Through him, through our relationship with him, through our surrender to him, through our new life in him, we have left sin behind. It no longer owns us. It no longer controls us. Listen to me. It no longer defines us. You know, some Christian groups still define us as sinners, okay? We were born in sin. If we don't hold on to that lifeline, we're going to die in sin. Hello, my name is Chris, and I'm a sinner. Hello, Chris. Borrowing from the 12-step program, you see. It's not like that, okay? We were sinners, And through Christ, he has made us, it says in the scripture, new creations. He has given us new life. He has hidden our lives with him in God. We are not sinners. We are children of God. And though we do sin, okay, don't understand me, don't get me wrong, we're not perfect. We're not ruled by sin anymore. In our daily lives, this has huge implications, okay? Unlike others, we can choose not to sin. I got you. See, you can choose not to sin. Others, well, they really can't help it. Honestly, they're slaves. But we can say no. In the midst of temptation, Jesus gives us power to resist if we'll call upon him. Because of this, we can ascend above sin and temptation. Yeah, we have that power. Because his ascension elevated us above sin. And that's my second argument for you. My third one is this. His going included us in the plan of salvation. You know, he didn't just poof and go away, okay? He didn't just not show up one morning, you know? Where's Jesus? Anybody see him? No? He carefully, I said before, he oozed out, okay? Carefully, he prepared his disciples for the going. He prepared them a long time before his going. This was this process of transition. It was a very important transition that had to occur. This was this great process of including us in his work, his glory, a transition that had to happen. I mentioned his including us in his work, okay? He has always included man in the plan, from Adam to Noah to Moses to the prophets to John the Baptist to his mother Mary to Joseph, the disciples, and ultimately to the ascension as well, and to us, of course. The ascension is where and when he made us his hands and feet. Think about that. He went away. He left us. We became his hands and feet, his body on earth. In the ascension, he made us the body of Christ. You see, where that Passover night where he made bread and wine his body, here in this process of the ascension, this miracle of ascension, he makes us his body. Wow, someone say, hallelujah. So, you know, if you hear in John chapter 17 all this talk about glorifying each other in the first verse there. He says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And then skipping down to verse 5, he says, now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You see, each one of them glorifies the other. Father glorifies the Son glorifies the Father. They share glory. But you know what? They don't just share it with each other. They share it with us as well. If you skipped on down to verse 22, he says, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. He gives us glory as well. And in verse 10, he says, all who are mine belong to you, Father, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. You see, glory comes to Jesus through us. He gives us glory, we give him glory. You and me. We give glory to Jesus. And we receive glory from Jesus. And now I'm not just talking to you when we say, oh, I give you glory, but I'm not just talking about the great praise and worship, you know, when things are wonderful and you've got your hands raised and you're really feeling the Holy Spirit. Yes, the music is glorious, the Shekinah glory, but we're not talking about that. I'm talking about glory that you give him when you live your life in Christ. and in our participation in saving others, in sharing the love of the Father with others. That gives God glory. Our sharing the love of the Father with others gives Him glory. And you say, okay, great. Well, what is glory? Well, in earthly terms, glory is wealth and power and riches. With God, it's grandeur, beauty, greatness. Glory is richness, grandeur, greatness, and beauty in God. And that is what He shares with us when we're part of the plan. An active member, an essential piece, an important participation in the greatest plan. We get to share in His richness, His grandeur, His beauty, His glory. We're part of that beauty, that richness, and that love. And for that to happen, Jesus had to leave us. Not only leave us, but return to the Father as a complete human, pure and sinless, and sit at the right hand of His Father. A lamb looking as if it had been slain, who was only one able to open the scrolls of the great plan. See, the great scrolls could only be opened by a sinless, perfect human who had been sacrificed for us and paid the price for us. He loves us, and it pained Him to go away. It's important that you know that. Yes, there's an airplane going over. But He knew that He had to go. But in doing that, it brought us up out of the pit of sin. We are no longer slaves, but elevated to a new place, higher than the angels. His ascension made us the body of Christ, where He could share His glory and His riches and His grandeur and His beauty and His love fully and completely with us. See, this miracle was a sacrifice once again for Jesus, and it elevated us above sin. It made us integral in the great plan. Us, the body of Christ. This is the importance of the ascension. Maybe you have some little bit of understanding now of sitting at the right hand of the Father. You share in His riches, in His grandeur, in His beauty, in His love. So next time you recite the creeds, in your service, in service with us, or in your daily prayers. You know, when you get to the part where you say, He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, say it with some reverence. Say it with some respect. With some new understanding. Because He ascended, and you ascended as well. Because you are now the body of Christ. Amen.